forward to Christ coming again, but we're going to think this morning about his first coming and his coming into Jerusalem. For that, open your Bibles with me, please, to Matthew chapter 11. And if you are able to multitask, then also open to Zechariah 9, Matthew 21 and Zechariah chapter 9. And same question for you that I asked the kids. What is Palm Sunday about? Some this morning are going to preach about the donkey, I guarantee you. But Palm Sunday is not about the donkey, even though I read this week. It's kind of cute. It said, you know, Palm Sunday is about that little donkey. And just like the donkey, all of us are, we're just kind of tied up. And we need someone to let us loose. Now, that was somebody's sermon for a Palm Sunday morning. Wow. I just can't imagine preaching that. Because that's not what it's about. Now, Noah hit the nail on the head. Historically speaking, Palm Sunday is about the day when Jesus Christ entered into Jerusalem, lowly and riding on a donkey, even the colt, a foal of a donkey. That's what it's about historically. It's about the day that great multitudes met him as he entered in with, and the multitudes were laying clothes on the road before him and spreading out palm branches, kind of like rolling out the red carpet, only it wasn't red. And it's about the day that Jesus Christ entered for the last time before he died, only to be crucified 5 days later. That's what it's about historically. But what is Palm Sunday about theologically? Because you know what God wants us to want from his word is not history. I'm not saying that he doesn't want us to get the history that's there. But if you want to know what God wants us to want, what is it? Somebody yell it out. Come on, Laura. Pure milk. Pure milk, 1 Peter 2:2. The only place where you're commanded what to get from the Bible, and pure milk is a metaphor for theology, for sound doctrine, for gospel truth. So what is Palm Sunday about theologically? What does it teach? Our text for this morning is Matthew 21, 1 to 11, and Zechariah 9, 9. Title of the message is P-A-L-M Sunday, and you can see where that's headed. P-A-L-M Sunday. Take a look with me, Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to, and how do you pronounce this? I will tell you how it is in the Greek, Beit Phage, the house of figs. At the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, or look at this, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Well, what is this about? And by the way, I will just tell you, and talking with Simon at IFCA conferences, you know, I never planned to be a preacher either. Did not want to be and was told numerous times that I needed to preach. But now that I have learned how to study God's Word, one of the first questions you always want to ask is, what is this about? What is this about? And that's one of the first questions I ask, because every text of Scripture is about something. God never speaks about nothing. And it's always about something important and relevant to your life. All Scripture is God-breathed and what? Profitable. So every text is about something that's going to be profitable for you. And that is not the history of it. It's the theology of it that's profitable. Brother Vic and I met this week, and I said, be sure you focus people's attention on truth. Because Jesus prayed, sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth. How does God sanctify? By the truth, and by the word of truth. So what is this about theologically? Well, four answers from the text, P-A-L-M, first. This is about prophecy. And it's about the faithfulness of God. And the gospel truth here is that God is faithful to his word. You know, every single promise that God has ever made, he will fulfill. Many of them he has already fulfilled in the coming of Jesus Christ. Look at verses 1 through 3. Now when they, that's Jesus and his disciples, when they drew near to Jerusalem, and they came to Bethphage, the house of figs, probably a place on the Mount of Olives, like an actual house where they stored figs. At the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two of his disciples, we don't know which two, and he gave them some commands. Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. Verse 3, and if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. We'll stop there. Pretty simple. There's nothing really difficult there to understand. But here's the key question. Why? I wonder if the disciples, if they didn't voice it, at least thought, Lord, why? Why do you want us to go get a donkey and a colt to enter the city today? You've never done that before. We've always just walked in. Here's the answer, verse 4. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now what is this? This is a prophecy given by God through his servant Zechariah 500 years plus or minus prior to this event. And as the psalmists write, Selah. Think about that. Consider that. 500 years prior to Palm Sunday, God promised that it was going to happen. Why? Why does God do that? Why does God tell Israel in advance that this was going to happen long before it ever came to pass? Why did Christ do the same thing during his ministry? Why would he give promises to his disciples about what was going to take place, some of them near-term, some of them long-term? Why do that? Do you know the answer? Jesus Christ told his disciples the answer to that question. John 13, 19. He said, I tell you before it comes to pass, so that when it does come to pass, you might believe. And in that specific case in John 13, he said that you might believe, I am he. God, in his grace, gives promises and prophecies long before they ever come to pass, in order that when they come to pass, or when you have heard that they have come to pass, that you might believe. That's what Palm Sunday is about. It is about prophecy and the faithfulness of God to fulfill his word. And the good news is God is 100% faithful to his word, and so is Jesus Christ. Now here we are given the prophecy out of Zechariah chapter 9. So if you've opened there, take a look. It's two books before Matthew, Zechariah 9, verse 9. And I just want to point out a couple of things that are here in the prophecy that aren't in Matthew's account. Pretty much any time you see a New Testament author quoting from the Old Testament, it's worthwhile to go back. Because the New Testament author is not saying, oh, here, I'll tell you everything you need to know about this. No, the New Testament author is basically saying, I'll give you a taste in the hopes that you will turn back and see the fuller account. So here in Zechariah 9:9, I'll show you a couple things that aren't in Matthew's quote. Here we see, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, it sounds like what we just read out of Matthew 21:5. But notice, first, there is a command here to rejoice greatly. Keep that in mind. That's going to come into play in the next point. There's a command here in the prophecy to rejoice greatly. This is a command to all those who believe, all who understood that God was saying the king would come. And second, He calls his people, O daughter of Zion and O daughter of Jerusalem. This is to picture the remnant, the faithful remnant, the elect of God, to picture them as a bride awaiting expectantly for her groom to come. And what is so great about this groom? Notice third, he is her king who is just, that is righteous, perfectly so, and having salvation. Those three things are not in Matthew's account. However, you're going to see that those things are all there. So turn back now to Matthew 21. And what is Palm Sunday about? Well, first and foremost, Palm Sunday is about prophecy and the faithfulness of God. And the good news is this, God is faithful. And so is Jesus Christ. God gives us promises way in advance so that when these things come to pass, you might believe, and so that when God gives new promises, you might bank on them. Has God given to us great and precious promises which have not yet been fulfilled? Yes, he has. And arguably, the greatest of them all is that Jesus Christ is coming again a second time for salvation for those who eagerly await him. Hebrews 9:28. So question is, do you believe? Do you eagerly await Jesus Christ? Do you look forward to his coming again? This is what Palm Sunday is about. Second, Palm Sunday is about A, authority. Authority and the sovereignty of God. And the good news is, God is sovereign and so is Jesus Christ. We see God's sovereignty and authority all over this text. But notice verse 4. It says, all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. Now here's a quick quiz, so pay attention, get this. A quick quiz question for you. When Matthew says all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, do you think he means option A, multiple choice here? Does he mean option A, the things we read about in verses 1 to 3? Because in verses 1 to 3, we read about how Christ sent two of his disciples into a neighboring village to bring a colt, a donkey and a colt with them. Is all that to fulfill the prophecy of Zechariah? Well, yeah. But does he mean only that? Letter B is, does he mean, I mean everything I'm writing to you about this event was done to fulfill the prophecy of Zechariah. Choose B. Verse 4, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet saying, includes not just verses 1 to 3, but everything that follows. Remember those commands in Zechariah? Rejoice and shout. What do we see in verse 9? The multitudes rejoicing and shouting. Why? So that the prophecy of Zechariah would be fulfilled. All of this that we see on Palm Sunday is the fulfilling of this prophecy, which raises a question. How does that happen? Or by whose power, by whose authority, by whose working does it happen that 500 years after a very specific prophecy, everything in that prophecy is fulfilled? You have a donkey, you have a colt, the foal of a donkey, you have crowds rejoicing, you have a king who is perfectly righteous, entering into the city, who is just and having salvation for his people. By whose authority does this happen? Obviously, it's by the authority of God and by the authority of Jesus Christ. God is sovereign. This is the gospel. Jesus Christ himself is sovereign. Now look back at those opening verses, verses 1 to 3. It says, when they drew near Jerusalem and came to the house of figs at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples saying, and notice, Jesus gives four commands to his disciples. Go, loose, bring, and say. What is he doing? Exercising his kingly authority over his disciples. And what did they do? Verses 6 and 7. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. Other gospel writers say they went and did just as Jesus commanded. And Luke 19:32 says, when they went their way, they found it just as Jesus had said. Jesus knew what his disciples would find, a donkey and a colt tied. He knew when they would find them immediately. He knew where they would find them, at the entrance to the village opposite them. He knew how they would find them, tied up. And all of that, you might say, well, maybe he prearranged all that. Well, Jesus also knew the life history of the colt. It was a colt upon which no one had ever sat or ridden. And how did he know that? How could he possibly? I mean, two kids could have jumped on that thing that morning, though they shouldn't have. Have you ever seen someone try to ride a colt that's never been ridden or a donkey that's never been ridden? Actually, you can YouTube that. It's kind of fun. Some kid did a YouTube of him trying to ride a donkey that had never been ridden. Guess what happened? Thrown right up over the handlebars. I'm just checking if you're paying attention. The ears. Thrown right up over the ears. Instantly got bucked off. Huh. When Jesus sat on that, did that happen? No. By whose authority? His authority. We're seeing here Christ's authority over his disciples, Christ's authority over this donkey, God's authority over everything that's taking place in this whole setting. And that's what Palm Sunday is about. It's about first prophecy and the faithfulness of God and Christ, but it's about second, the authority and the sovereignty of God and Christ over people, places, things, circumstances, even animals and time. This is the good news, beloved. God is faithful and God is sovereign. Jesus Christ is faithful and Jesus Christ is sovereign. These are truths to bank on. These are truths to build your life on. Because God is certainly going to bring to pass, in his perfect timing, everything that he has ever promised. He is the God who works all things together according to the counsel of his own will. He is the God who works all things together for the good of those who love him and who are the called according to his purpose. And again, I ask you, are you? Are you the called according to God's purpose? Are you one of those who has put your faith in Jesus Christ and all of his promises? Truly, the answer to that question, how many blessings can you count? You can't count them all. Every promise given by God in this book is a blessing. And I don't know the number. I put in your bulletin that according to the scholar Alfred Edersheim, I forget the number exactly, it's in your bulletin in that table talk section. I've got to look here. 456 prophecies just concerning the Messiah in the Old Testament, 300 of which were fulfilled at his first coming, leaving 156. That's not counting all the prophecies that we have in the New Testament, all the promises of God in the New Testament. So again, I ask you, are you one who is counting on those promises, who is looking for them to come to pass? This is what Palm Sunday is about. Third, it's about love. Palm Sunday is about the love of God and the love of Jesus Christ. And the good news here, God is love, and so is Jesus Christ. Why did Christ enter Jerusalem that day? Did he not know that a mere 5 days later this crowd would turn on him? Did he not know that a mere 5 days later the same crowd that cried Hosanna would be crying out crucify? He knew. He knew. Very briefly, just look or just listen. Matthew 16:21. Prophecy of Jesus' death and resurrection. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. That's Matthew 16:21. Now Matthew 17:22. Now while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to his disciples, the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and the third day he will be raised up, and they were exceedingly sorrowful. Look at Matthew 20, verse 17. All of this is prior to Palm Sunday. Matthew 20, verse 17. And mine has a heading that says, Jesus a third time predicts his death and resurrection. Matthew 20, 17. Now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify, and the third day he will rise again. Did Jesus know on Palm Sunday that on Friday he would be crucified? Yes, he did. Then why would you go? Why in the world would you enter into Jerusalem with crowds going before and behind, calling you out, putting the target on your back, pointing out to those who already wanted to kill him for some time, saying, this is the one? And the answer is love. The answer is love. Finish this verse. Greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Are you? Are you a friend of Jesus Christ? You say, well, how would I know? How would I really know if I am a friend of Jesus Christ? What I just quoted you is John 15:13. Here is John 15:14. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Wow. That's how you know you're a friend of Jesus Christ. Had a good conversation with somebody in the church family this morning, and that person said, well, I was talking to a friend, and my friend said, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to go to church. I have no desire to go to church because I have been hurt. I have been spiritually mistreated, abused in church. And I said, you know, maybe you could ask your friend, okay, you don't have a desire to go to church, but do you have a desire to follow Jesus Christ? And if the answer is yes, then the next question is, if Jesus Christ were to command that you should not forsake the assembly, would you want to go to church? That's the question, right? Are you a friend of Jesus Christ? This is what Palm Sunday is about. It's about the love of God to send his son to be the Savior of the world. It's about the love of Jesus Christ, knowing that he was going to be spiritually abused, knowing that he would be mistreated, knowing that he would be spit upon and have a crown of thorns pressed down into his flesh, knowing that he would bleed, knowing he would be stripped and humiliated and hung on a cross to die, knowing that Jesus Christ went anyway. And Jesus says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. And you know what he commands you to do? Follow Christ. Right? How do we even know what love is? 1 John 3:16. By this we know love. By this we know what love is. That he laid down his life for us. And the application is right there in 1 John 3:16. Therefore, we also must lay down our own lives for the brethren. This is what Palm Sunday is all about. It's about prophecy and the faithfulness of God. And God is faithful to his promises. And so is Jesus Christ. It's about authority, the authority and the sovereignty of God to fulfill his word. And the truth is that God is sovereign. Jesus Christ is sovereign. We get an extra burrito at Doc's for saying that on Friday, so I eat a lot of burritos. Doc probably wins. He eats the most because he even says it in the opening prayer, and then we're all like, oh, okay. This is good news. God is sovereign. Palm Sunday is about love, the love of God to send his son, to give him over to death for our sakes. For God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten son. That means gave him up to die so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Fourth, Palm Sunday is about the multitude and the salvation of God. You really can't miss the multitude, right? Verse 8, and a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Verse 9, then the multitudes, and there were four multitudes coming all together, converging at one place, just outside of Jerusalem. They went before him, and they went behind him, crying out, Hosanna, save now! That's what that means. Hosanna, save us now! They're crying that out to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. When he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? In verse 11, the multitude said, this is Jesus the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Question. Were the multitudes right in what they said on Palm Sunday when they said, Jesus is the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee? Is that true? Yes, it is. Were the multitudes right in what they did on Palm Sunday, laying their clothes out before him to honor him, cutting down palm branches and basically paving the road? Were they right to cry out, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord? Were they right to do that? Yes, they were. But what happened a few days later? Many of this same multitude who had cried out, Hosanna, on Good Friday, cried out, crucify. Why did they do that? In order that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet. The prophets had foretold that he would be despised and rejected. The prophets had foretold that they would crucify him, that they would cast lots for his clothing. Remember that? All of this, including the rejection of Christ, including the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, took place in order that God's word will be fulfilled. But not only that, we learn from the multitudes that there are some who look like, sound like believers one day, but who deny him the next. Studied that this morning in Hebrews chapter 10. Thank you, Brother Vic, leading us through. There are people who make a profession of faith. They hear the gospel one day, and they profess faith, and at first there's this immediate response. But later, when times of persecution come, they fall away. That's what happened here. Some of these in the multitude, they caved to the culture. Right? The culture then and the culture today is very anti-Christ. You don't believe that? Just speak openly of Jesus Christ in any public place. Speak openly of Jesus Christ in the line at Safeway. Speak openly of Jesus Christ in your school, at your workplace. You will find this is an anti-Christ culture. Well, many in this crowd caved to that anti-Christ culture. Remember, they were so afraid of the Jews that they were afraid even to speak openly of him. And they went along with their leaders in the end in the call to crucify Christ. It's not much different today. It's not much different. Right? How many are there in our own day who once praised Christ but now have caved to the anti-Christ culture around us? But the question for you and for me is, are we any better than they? No, we're no better than they are. We are better off. If you have trusted in Christ, we are way better off. But we are not better by nature. Here's the good news. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The Savior for sinners like us, for you and for me. To that end, Christ did not merely enter Jerusalem. He sacrificed his life willingly on the cross to pay the price for our sins, for yours and for mine. And the good news is that whoever believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins. Acts 10:43. What is Palm Sunday about? P-A-L-M. Prophecy, authority, love, and the multitudes. It's about prophecy and the faithfulness of God. Our God is faithful. He will fulfill every promise he's ever made. It's about authority. God has the authority to bring about everything he's ever promised. He is sovereign, including over your circumstances today. It's about love. God is love. Jesus Christ is love. And if you're here today and you have believed in Jesus Christ, you should obey the command of Zechariah 9:9 and rejoice greatly. Because you know what? Your king is coming again. Your king is coming again, just and having salvation. And if you're here today and you don't have Christ, I have good news for you. You're here today. That is in the sovereignty of God. God wants you to be saved. He does not want you to be lost. The worst thing you could do today would be to harden your heart against the gospel. Let today be the day of salvation for you. Put your trust in Christ today and follow him. Are you saved? There's one way to tell. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. And there's one test question, just one. Is Christ in you? If Christ is in you, I mentioned that conversation that somebody in the church had with a friend. I'll tell you what, if Christ is in you, you want to be in the church. Because this is the body of Christ. If Christ is in you, you want to be in his word. If Christ is in you, you want to abide in his love. You want to be in the fellowship. The last thing you would ever want to do is leave because you've been hurt. So is Christ in you? If he is, rejoice greatly. And if he is not, call upon the Lord today and be saved. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the message of Palm Sunday. Help us to remember it and share it with others. In Jesus' name, amen.